ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, Chapter 1, Text 24. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sanjaya Uvacha, Evam Ukto Hrishikesho, Gudakeshena Bharata, Senayor ubhayor madhye sthapayitva ratotamam. Sanjaya uvacha evam ukto hrishikesho gurakeshena bharata Senayor ubhayor madhye sthapayitva ratotamam. Sanjaya said, O descendant of Bharata, having thus been addressed by Arjuna, Lord Krishna drew up the fine chariot in the midst of the armies of both parties. Purport: in this verse, Arjuna is referred to as Gurakesh. Guraka means sleep, and one who conquers sleep is called Gurakesh. Sleep also means ignorance, so don't fall asleep in the class. So Arjuna conquered both sleep and ignorance because of his friendship with Krishna. As a great devotee of Krishna, he could not forget Krishna, even for a moment, because that is the nature of a devotee. Either in waking or in sleep, a devotee of the Lord can never be free from thinking of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Thus, a devotee of Krishna can conquer both sleep and ignorance simply by thinking of Krishna constantly. This is called Krishna consciousness, or samadhi. As Hrishikesha, or the director of the senses and mind of every living entity, Krishna could understand Arjuna's purpose in placing the chariot in the midst of the armies. Thus he did so and spoke as follows. Now in this purport, Srila Prabhupada states that either in waking or in sleep, a devotee of the Lord can never be free from thinking of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So they may say, well, what's wrong with sleeping? Arjuna conquered over sleep. So if you're asleep and you're thinking of Krishna, then that's fine, isn't it? Well, that's one way of, you can say, of conquering sleep, is that one is not simply merged in some psychophysical suspension, but one's actually thinking of Krishna. Another thing is that devotee doesn't only want to think of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, he wants to do some active service for Krishna also. Now, the reason I chose this verse to speak on today is because this is the first time in the Bhagavad Gita purports that Srila Prabhupada uses the term Krishna consciousness. Telugu translation? In Telugu? Yeah, just Telugu.
Telugu translation,
local album, eh? No. This is the first time that Srila Prabhupada used it in his Bhagavad Gita. And I don't know about others, but I tend to think of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, as the first of Prabhupada's books. Not that it was chronologically composed first, but of course there are many small books, but in reading his commentaries on Shastra, the major commentaries, we begin with Bhagavad Gita, then we go to Srimad Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. not forgetting the nectar of devotion. So Srila Prabhupada uses this term literally thousands of times, and I want to speak a little bit about this term, Krishna consciousness. It is an unusual term. I remember when I first heard it, I thought it's a strange term. It's a neologism. It's a term that Srila Prabhupada made up, you could say. There was no such term in English as Krishna consciousness before Srila Prabhupada. Or maybe it was one of his disciples, we don't know, but at least Srila Prabhupada introduced that and made it part of ISKCON lexicon. Consciousness at that time, Srila Prabhupada was in the hippie land or the East Coast branch of hippie land in New York City, and consciousness was a very common word, as it is even today in New Age circles in the Western world. Consciousness is talking about, especially the consciousness expansion was a phrase that was going around. Particularly with the idea was that by taking certain kinds of drugs, illegal drugs, psychotropic drugs, especially LSD, lysergic something acid, the consciousness would be expanded because there's certain drugs which are taken, they affect the mind. And people thought they had spiritual insights or various insights by taking these drugs. So consciousness was a buzzword. And even up to the present day, we hear about consciousness raising. So it was an attractive word to catch the attention of the Srila Prabhupada's main preaching audience. It wasn't his desired preaching audience, particularly. Of course, he wanted to reach the whole world, but Srila Prabhupada's plan, it seems fairly clear in coming to the Western world, was that he wanted to meet the intellectuals and the leaders of society and impress upon them the importance of Krishna consciousness. But instead, he got the dregs of society and he picked them up, which is also quite in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy mission. So this term, Krishna consciousness, became central to Srila Prabhupada's lexicon and that of his followers. Srila Prabhupada, yeah, but then we have to think, what is actually meant by that? Srila Prabhupada came to this world to give Krishna consciousness. He came from the spiritual world, appeared in Calcutta, eventually went to the Western world, and from there spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But what do we actually mean by Krishna consciousness? If we ask that question, that could be answered in various ways. There are various verses which give definitions of what we call Krishna consciousness. For instance, anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktiruttama. This gives the understanding of Krishna consciousness or the endeavor to be Krishna conscious. Cultivating a spirit of no desire other than to serve Krishna favorably. That can be called Krishna consciousness. Yahayasya harer dasa karmana manasa gira nikilasya pyavastha sujivan mukta sa uchyate. In this world, even while situated in this world, one who dedicates his mind, body, and words to Hari in all circumstances, in all situations, such a person is called liberated in this life. So we get an idea of Krishna consciousness from that verse. Then, Savaipum sang paro dharmo yato bhaktira dhokshaya haitukya pratihata yayatma supersedati. We get an idea of Krishna consciousness from this verse, that the topmost occupation for all living beings is that by which one performs loving service to the Supreme Lord who is beyond the purview of the material senses. Such service is should be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. So these are various definitions of Krishna consciousness. This term, Srila Prabhupada explained, this particular term, Krishna consciousness, he specifically derived it from a verse of Srila Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi. Very difficult to translate exactly in English, but the translation is Krishna consciousness. Matihi. If you say Krishna Mati, that could be translated as Krishna consciousness, but more specifically, more elaborately, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi. And when one's thoughts, I was going to use the word consciousness, but you can't define a word using the same word. When one's thoughts are immersed in the rasas of devotional service, in the mellows of devotional service, that is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi. Kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam. Janma koti sukritayana labhyate. Rupa Goswami says that this Krishna consciousness, if it is available somewhere for purchase, of course we can't buy Krishna consciousness, but it's a metaphorical way of speaking, then one should certainly purchase it. What is the price? Intense desire is the only price by which one can attain it. The currency of materialistic pious activities, even many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes of mundane pious activities, and is not suitable currency to purchase this Krishna consciousness. So this is the first in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is within his purports, this is the first definition of Krishna consciousness. Thinking of Krishna constantly, this is called Krishna consciousness. Well, there's a very simple definition. This is thinking of Krishna constantly. Ananya cheta satata. Ananyas chintayantamam. Several times in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about thinking about Him, Krishna, without thinking of anything else. Manmana, Krishna says, think of me. Srila Prabhupada in his translation adds the word, always think of me. That's understood from other texts of Bhagavad Gita, Ananyasa. So this is to always think of Krishna. This is a very simple, straightforward and easy to understand definition. Of course, that's also qualified by that verse that Rupa Goswami gives, that anukulyena Krishna anushilanam, because as Srila Prabhupada, following the previous acharyas, also explained, it's possible to think of Krishna in a non-favorable way. Just as Kamsa always thought of Krishna, Shishupal always thought of Krishna, but that's not bhakti. And even though Narada states that one can attain Krishna even by lower emotions, by kama, by desire, by krodha, by anger, by matsarya. But that which is opposed to Krishna consciousness, or opposed to the spirit of pleasing Krishna, that which is opposed to the spirit of pleasing Krishna, that's not what we mean when we say Krishna consciousness. It could be said to be Krishna. Well, it is Krishna consciousness in as much as one is always thinking of Krishna. But it's not what Srila Prabhupada came to give to the world. It's not what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's not what Krishna wants us to do. Yesterday I spoke how it may be that devotees sometimes do things that are not pleasing to Krishna. For instance, in this month we're celebrating Mother Yashoda's tying Krishna up, which Krishna didn't like. But it's in the spirit of pleasing Krishna. The underlying spirit is one of pleasing Krishna. Whereas someone who's a demon may actually please Krishna, but with a different spirit. He may actually, just like Shishupal insults Krishna, that's his intention, to insult Krishna. But Sarasvati enters him and she makes him speak in such a way that the words can be understood as praises also. For instance, Shishupal calls Krishna Adham, which is generally understood to mean the lowest, Purusha Adhama, the lowest of all people. But Sarasvati, who enters Shishupal, who also enters Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who explains it this way, can also mean the one who makes all others go down. In other words, one who's above all others. So the basic understanding is to be in Krishna consciousness. Here's another definition. I didn't get the reference. That's from the same quote that Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi, as quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. To be in Krishna consciousness, one must be absorbed in pure devotional service and experience rasa or transcendental mellows by thinking of Lord Krishna. So that's a very difficult term to translate, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi. But here's Srila Prabhupada's translation. To be in Krishna consciousness, one must be absorbed in pure devotion. So be in Krishna consciousness, that's Krishna Matihi, the first and last words of that phrase. One must be absorbed in pure devotional service, that's bhakti, Krishna bhakti, and experience rasa or transcendental mellows, Krishna bhakti rasa, bhavita, by thinking of Lord Krishna. In Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, in the preface, he writes, the art of focusing one's attention on the Supreme and giving one's love to Him is called Krishna consciousness. So here we see there are two major divisions of definition of Krishna consciousness. One is sadhana and the other is sadhya. To the art of focusing one's attention, that means bringing oneself to think about Krishna, practicing, that is Krishna consciousness. And when one is always thinking of Krishna favorably, automatically, that is Krishna consciousness. So it's both Krishna consciousness, but one is practiced and the other is perfect. The prime example of the perfect devotees who always think of Krishna are, of course, the gopis of Vrindavan, who at one time among themselves discussed and said that, you know, we're always talking about Krishna and thinking about Krishna, but He only gives distress to us. So why don't we just stop? We'll stop talking about and thinking about Krishna. We don't have anything to do with Him, and then we'll be happy. But they couldn't do it. Not even for a moment. It wasn't possible. They were already completely caught by Krishna. So, some of Srila Prabhupada's definitions of Krishna consciousness, as given in his Bhagavad Gita as it is. And remember that Srila Prabhupada used this term hundreds, thousands of times. So although Krishna consciousness can be said simply always thinking of Krishna, that's constantly thinking of Krishna, but there are many nuances to that, different angles on it, and Srila Prabhupada has given various definitions of Krishna consciousness or various angles by which we can understand what is Krishna consciousness. And it's important that we understand what Krishna consciousness is, right? Seeing as we're supposed to have dedicated our lives for becoming Krishna conscious. So it's a very good idea to understand what Krishna consciousness is. What is Krishna consciousness? Well, Hare Krishna. We should be able to answer. What is your belief? Sometimes people ask, especially in the Western countries. What is your belief? They presume it's a belief. The very question is atheistic. The idea that it's just you believe this, someone else believes that, and it's all different beliefs, and there's no actual fact. There's no actual absolute reality, but anyway, you believe this and someone else believes that, and as long as you don't interfere with my sense gratification, I don't give a damn what you believe. I respect it, as long as you don't tread on my sense gratificatory toes. Okay, in Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 40, Srila Prabhupada writes, activity in Krishna consciousness or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification is the highest transcendental quality of work. So here Srila Prabhupada defines it, actually it's the definition of the highest transcendental quality of work, but by defining that, he gives an idea of what Krishna consciousness is, and this is very much in line with Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness. Yesterday I spoke about how devotees should develop a taste for bhajan. And of course that's not outside Srila Prabhupada's teachings. We see that he often, especially in the early days of his ministration in the Western countries, would say, yes, on Ekadashi, you chant more rounds. And he'd often say, why 16 rounds? This is the minimum, chant more. You can chant more also. But he also, especially as his preaching activities picked up all over the world, would very much emphasize devotees have to be active in Krishna consciousness. So acting in Krishna consciousness, acting for the benefit of Krishna. Actually, of course, we can't benefit Krishna, but we can't benefit Krishna. But Krishna has made this world in such a way that we can do some service for him and advance the cause of his mission. So activity in Krishna without expectation of sense gratification. Now this is very important because most people who have any idea of doing something religious they'll do something for God, like putting money in the box or following some vow to please such and such a god or a goddess with the idea of getting something back. We'll fast on such and such a day to please such and such a goddess, and then that will protect my husband. Wives used to do that, and now it's completely forgotten, but it used to be a common thing that Hindu wives would fast once a week, I can't remember which day, and that's supposed to be for the benefit of their husband. So this is possible to do in relation to Krishna also, and that's probably the reason, or almost certainly the reason, why the temple at Tirupati Srinivas Tirumala is most popular, because people have great faith that by putting money there, they'll get more back. And it seems to work because there are lakhs and lakhs of people going there every month. So without expectation of sense gratification, it's a completely different attitude. Acting for the pleasure of Krishna. Then in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 45, purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, this transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. I'm just going through these very quickly, but these are all very, very important points. If we read Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully, we'll find that every line, every sentence, every word is full of so much depth that we could discuss for hours and days and weeks and lifetimes. Being fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. This is the surrendering process. Rakshishatiti Vishvaso Goptritve Varanang Tata. The faith that Krishna will protect me, Krishna will maintain me. Ashabandha. One of the symptoms of a devotee in bhava bhakti, ecstatic love. He feels that even though I'm not qualified for attaining Krishna, still I have the hope. Krishna is very kind. He will deliver me. Fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. In this world, we can expect so many setbacks and difficulties and turmoil, and it might seem that the whole situation is against my becoming Krishna conscious. Why doesn't Krishna arrange for me to get 3 crores of rupees? Then I could pay off all my debts and have enough money to retire early, and I could serve Krishna all my life. But as it is, I have to work very hard, and I'm always in anxiety about this money. What's wrong with Krishna? He doesn't seem to understand me very well. Come on, Krishna. Where's the money? What kind of God are you? 3 crores is nothing for you. But the devotee has the faith that whatever situation I'm in, Krishna has placed me in this situation for my benefit, I'm in this situation due to my previous activities, but Krishna has very kindly manifested himself to me through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So let me serve Krishna according to as best I can, according to the situation. This, of course, is the message of the Tateinu Kampan verse, which Srila Prabhupada said this should be the motto of every devotee. Tateinu Kampan su samikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam viparakam hidvagvapubhya vidita namaste jivete yo muktipade sadhaya bhak. One who, Lord Brahma says, goes on serving you despite all difficult situations, thinking that I'm in this situation due to my previously committed activities, but let me go on serving Krishna, expecting his mercy, serving Hridvag Vapubhi. We find these terms or slight variations on them throughout the Bhakti Shastras. With the heart, with the words, with the body, one dedicates them all fully in the service of Krishna, expecting Krishna's goodwill. That my situation doesn't seem to be very good, but anyway, Krishna Bharadoyamai. Krishna is very kind. Krishna will deliver. Yeah, these kind of terms come again. Pranayar artha diava chatshraya acharanam sada. With one's very life, with one's money, with one's intelligence, with one's words, one should always act for the ultimate benefit. Stane sita shudigatang tanu vang manobi. With the body, with the words, with the mind, one should serve Krishna. So these terms come again and again. So that's also Krishna consciousness means to engage all our mind, body, words in the service of Krishna. Sarvopadi vinir moktam tatparat vena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchati. Engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses. being freed from all mundane designations, taking Krishna to be supreme, having pure heart. If one engages the service, the senses in the service of the master of the senses, that is called bhakti. So that's another definition. There are so many, which Srila Prabhupada, drawing on his vast knowledge of all the shastras and his complete immersion in that, in various purports to various verses, from various angles and with various nuances, gives definitions of this term, Krishna consciousness. So in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 53 purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, in Krishna consciousness one comes directly into communion with Krishna, and thus all directions from Krishna may be understood in that transcendental state. So here Srila Prabhupada is talking about the effect of Krishna consciousness. Or what is Krishna consciousness? One comes directly in communion with Krishna. This word communion, it's actually used in the Roman Catholic tradition. I happen to know, having been raised in that, where in the Mass, which is the service, some ritual people go to, they have what's called Holy Communion, and they give you prasadam. With the idea that Jesus, he had the Last Supper with his apostles, and he broke bread and gave it to them. So the priest who's representing Jesus gives you bread, and in this it means communication or coming together. In the Catholic Church now, they have special bread which is made tiny little wafer, just enough to put on the tongue. It's not really a meal, it's just a ritual. But the idea is that you come in contact, communion, it's called communion, you come in contact with God or with Jesus by taking this bread which he has given. So coming in, we find in Bhagavad Gita again and again this term, yoga, yuktaha, linked. So linked with Krishna, ultimately. Of course, these terms comes mostly in the opening chapters of Bhagavad Gita, where in most of the verses, Krishna doesn't directly mention himself. directly. So when one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is directly in communion with Krishna. You may say, well, I didn't see Krishna. Where is he? He is realized as much as we give ourselves to Krishna. We are in contact with Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada writes in another purport here in this Bhagavad Gita as it is, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, then Krishna and his energy, which he doesn't say directly, that means Radharani, is dancing on the devotee's tongue. So we are in contact, actually we're in contact, we're always in contact with Krishna. We can't not be connected with Krishna because Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is in everything. It's not possible to actually separate ourselves from Krishna. But we separate ourselves by our consciousness. By thinking, I am an enjoyer of this material world, by that consciousness we separate ourselves from Krishna. And Krishna consciousness means to directly be conscious of Krishna and reawaken that relationship of dependency on him. So we are with Krishna, but Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of the fact that there is Krishna and I am his eternal servant. And not being in Krishna consciousness means to not be conscious of this. So as soon as we begin that consciousness, then we're in Krishna consciousness, and the more we take that to heart, then we can experience that Krishna is directly acting in our lives. Krishna helps the devotee to come to him. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenam Well, tam in this case means tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna says to those who are always engaged in my service with love, Krishna says, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So a devotee experiences Krishna. So that's another meaning of Krishna consciousness, to directly be in association or directly in communion with Krishna. Otherwise, one is always in communion with Krishna, but to directly, it's a direct opening the door to Krishna. And when one is actually in a complete state of openness with Krishna, paramatma samahita, one is directly in contact with Krishna in the heart, then all directions from Krishna may be understood. So Bhagavad Gita, one can understand what does Krishna say. Others don't understand. So many people have given commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, but they don't understand what Krishna is because they're not in direct communion with Krishna. So they interpret, they may be very good Sanskrit scholars, and they interpret, and Krishna via Sarasvati, Sarasvati, Dushta Sarasvati, the Sarasvati of this mature world, can give amazing intelligence by which people can interpret in all kinds of novel and interesting and apparently plausible ways, but such interpretations, they take us away from Krishna. We don't understand what Krishna actually wants, because from the very outset, those who want to make commentaries on Bhagavad Gita denying Krishna, they don't want to know. They're not reading Bhagavad Gita thinking, well, what does Krishna want? The whole point is what Krishna wants, what he wants to convey to Arjuna, what he wants Arjuna to do, that is borne out by Arjuna's ultimate acceptance of Krishna's words, Karishye Vachanam Tava, I'll do what you say, Krishna. But those who are mundane scholars, they don't have this spirit, and so they think, oh, see, such realizations, such insights. They may have very deep realizations and insights, but they're all wrong. Maybe very deep, just like a pit of poison can be very deep, but it doesn't mean it's the real thing. But they think it is, because the platform of the intelligence and the mind, that's compared to the sensual platform, indriyani parani ahur indriyebha parangmanaha manasastu para buddhi. Because the platform of the intelligence is much higher than that of the sensual or the emotional. So I think, yes, they're very high. They take it to be spiritual, but it's not. They're still in Maya. So, from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 56, purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the stitta dhir muni is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation. Yeah, so many munis, they may speculate on what Krishna says or what a shastra says. But one who's finished with all that can be called a stitta dhir muni. He's always in Krishna consciousness. How has he come to Krishna consciousness? He's finished all these speculative ideas. He is called, and here Srila Prabhupada quotes from Yamunacharya Stotra Ratna, Prashanta Nishesha Manoratantara. This is the Sanskrit for exhausted all the business of creative speculation. Prashant, it's become peaceful, stopped. Prashanta, Nishesha, come to an end. Manoratantara, all different movements and permutations and combinations of the mind maneuvering here and there. When that's finished, one has surpassed the stage of mental speculations, has come to the conclusion that Lord Sri Krishna or Vasudeva is everything. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. So when one comes to the understanding, Vasudeva, Krishna is everything, that is called Krishna consciousness. So you see, these are various definitions, and they together help to give us a complete picture of what it means to be in Krishna consciousness. It's all from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You may say, well, in the second chapter, Krishna hardly doesn't seem to speak very much about bhakti at all. So why is Srila Prabhupada explaining all in terms of bhakti and Krishna? Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yomang pashyati sarvatra sarvang chamai pashyati tasyaham tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. Krishna says, one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, to him I am never lost and he is never lost to me. So if one can see Krishna everywhere and in everything, then why not in every verse of Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna himself directly speaks? So in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 63, Srila Prabhupada's purport, he writes, a person in Krishna consciousness knows how to use everything in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he does not become a victim of material consciousness. This is another symptom of Krishna consciousness. How to use everything in the service of the Lord. So, that's just a short statement, but it gives the whole understanding of Yukta Vairagya as compared with Falgu Vairagya. People who see that this world is a very dangerous place. It's all maya. Sarvam kalv idam brahma. The Upanishad says everything is Brahma, but those who are very afraid of this material world, they see it's all maya. Everything here is maya. Leave it. Avoid it. But a devotee knows that everything is Krishna's property. Everything is given by Krishna. So everything should be used for the service of Krishna. And in this way, a devotee can live in this world seeing everything in relation to Krishna. That's another aspect of Krishna consciousness, to see everything in relation to Krishna and think and know and be given the intelligence how to use everything in relation to Krishna. And in this way, a devotee lives in this world in Krishna consciousness without becoming a victim of material consciousness. So you can see all of these terms have so much import. A devotee is only concerned with the satisfaction of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 2, 664, purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, although the person in full Krishna consciousness may apparently be on the sensual plane, because of his being Krishna conscious, he has no attachment to sensual activities. The Krishna conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. So this again brings out the purport of Yukta Vairagya. Devotee engages his senses in the service of Krishna. He might appear to be on the sensual plane. Why is a devotee so active in the world? And why is he cooking such nice foods and arranging money for various projects? Because he's in Krishna consciousness. He's not a materialist. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one of his early Back to Godheads, which he published before he came to America, that people see me as a sadhu and they say he's a very strange sadhu because he's always busy running around to the getting money, going to the paper market, selling magazines, haggling with the paper seller over the price, all these things. It may seem that he was a businessman and he's become more business-minded after becoming a sadhu. So what is this? And Srila Prabhupada explained that this is all done for Krishna, so it's all transcendental. So although a devotee may apparently be on the sensual plane, one who is in full Krishna consciousness, there's another definition, that has no attachment to sensual activities. Even though busy in this world, engaged in this world, that means engaging with the objects of the senses, but he is kurmangiva. It's like the limbs of a tortoise, kurumanga. They're withdrawn within his body. In other words, his senses don't interact with the sense objects for the purpose of sense gratification. But seeing that everything in this world is for Krishna's service, I'm also meant for Krishna's service. My senses are meant for serving Krishna. So let me serve Krishna. And then this very important statement, the Krishna conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. And that is a seminal and short but complete definition of Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person, so Krishna conscious means to be concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. Therefore, Krishnarthe Kila Cheshta. To always act, to always endeavor for Krishna's sake. So it's not just consciousness, not just, well, I'm Krishna conscious, I'm sitting here. Prabhu, get up. No, I'm lying down thinking of Krishna. No, you have to get up. Yeah, and actually do some activities in Krishna conscious. So Krishna conscious means consciousness, but it means also not just that one's conscious of Krishna, but if one's actually conscious of Krishna, then he will act for the satisfaction of Krishna. It's not enough to say, well, I'm Krishna conscious, so that's it. I'm always thinking of Krishna, so what do I need to do? Well, if you're thinking of Krishna, then there are so many things to do in Krishna's service. I'll finish here now, and Krishna willing, we'll continue this later tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Any questions about what has just been said? Yeah. Everything should be utilized in the service of Krishna because everything belongs to Krishna. What is not necessary in our devotional life? That becomes our obstacle in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, it's not that because everything belongs to Krishna, that everything is Krishna's consciousness. There is a difference between Krishna consciousness and Maya. Everything belongs to Krishna, but we are in the illusory consciousness of thinking that everything doesn't belong to Krishna. So if we act in that consciousness, that's not Krishna consciousness. Looking like it's the most difficult thing to understand. Well, it is for most of the jivas in this material world. It's not all one. Everything's all the same. So just, everything's Krishna, so whatever I do is Krishna conscious. No, that's not a fact. Most people, they forget, they're not conscious of Krishna. That's the whole point. One has to be conscious of Krishna. Consciousness of Krishna also means to know what Krishna wants us to do. So there's a difference between, just like we have four regulated principles, one who's in Krishna consciousness doesn't eat meat. because he only wants to take Krishna prasadam. Someone who's not in Krishna consciousness may eat meat. There's a difference. It's not all the same. And the result is different also. One who takes only Krishna prasadam because he wants to please Krishna, in this way, not only is his body nourished, but his Krishna consciousness is nourished. Whereas someone who doesn't care says, oh, everything's Krishna, so let me eat some meat. So then he'll go to hell, and hell is, that's Krishna's also there. It's also made by Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.